Hello, West Liberty. This is Matt, and you are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Calling in from PA, we have Aaron Margeria. Aaron is a musician, and rumor has it, he has the best corn on this side of the Mississippi. Aaron, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Matt. How are you doing?
Oh, just wonderful, man. Excited for this interview. I'm really excited to talk to you today.
Awesome.
So, I want to start out to dig into your music career some. I was wondering, because I read on your page that you didn't pick up a guitar until you went to Penn State. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's actually correct. I tried when I was a kid, but it didn't click till I got to college and had some free time. And I spent more time playing guitar than going to class, and I had to figure that out. But that's where I got started my music career.
You know, I've been there too. I tried a couple years ago. I was terrible at it. I mean, I need to try picking it up again because I love music so much. So, what is your preferred genre?
My preferred genre, oh man, that's hard because I like all walks of music. For listening, my preferred genre would probably be classic country to classic rock, as well as a lot of modern rock. But if you had to put my genre of music into a place, it would somewhere be between Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard, right? So a little bit of rock and roll with a little bit of soul.
Okay.
A little bit of country mixed in.
I dig it. So whenever you were growing up, did you have any CDs, or were you part of the, like, iTunes generation, or how did you listen to your music growing up?
No, I grew up in the... I grew up in the cassette era. I had all kind of cassettes and then got into CDs. We actually picked, my mom made a deal with my brother and I, we hated to pick green beans, and we picked green beans all summer so we could buy our own CD players. And you know what, this is like people don't know it, but Styx is one of my favorite bands. I wore that CD out, their greatest hits. Love Styx.
Yeah, I saw Styx back in 2019. Oh my God, they still have it. They are incredible.
Oh, yeah, the lead singer is phenomenal. Just great.
For sure. So I was wondering, like, whenever you go out and play, you know, at venues and stuff, where do you routinely play?
It's mainly in the tri-state area. It's around, I'm from, like you said, I'm from Avella, Pennsylvania. I've played in Wheeling. Give them a shout-out, River City. played there. I routinely play at a bar near Pittsburgh. It's called 31 Sports Bar, and it's owned by the Stanley Cup winning goalie for the Penguins, Kenny Reggett.
No way.
He owns the bar, and so it's a neat place to play. They've done great things for live music and for me. So that's one of the places. There's many others, Rough Cut Tavern in Burgerstown, the Bullpen in Avella, as well as Freddy's Place in Avella. They've all done wonderful things for my musical career.
Okay. Is there a certain kind of venue you prefer over one or another? Or do you just enjoy playing regardless if it's a bar or a small venue or wherever you can get?
Yeah. I enjoy, like you said, I enjoy playing all aspects because I just love music. But sometimes the small bars are my favorite. You meet some interesting people in there and everything. I also like I'll play at your county fairs. I like that as well because then my daughters can come to the shows, and
that's nice.
More of a family-oriented crowd, but both have their pluses and minuses for sure.
Yeah, I guarantee it. So, do you have like any interesting stories you would say from all the places you've been at playing music?
Interesting stories. I did at a benefit in Wellsburg, West Virginia last year. I tell this story. I usually tell a lot of jokes while I'm playing, and this is the only one that's a true story. I did see a lady at the end of the night while I was trying to get some food to take home. She had partaken in some adult beverages, and she was eating macaroni salad without a spoon, like just dipping her hand into the vat of macaroni salad, and I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
The things you see.
There you go.
You can't unsee.
Oh, so you got that image in my head, and I wasn't even there. Oh, man.
Interesting stories. Last summer, I got to do a few shows with Johnny Cash's grandson, whose name is Thomas Gabriel.
Wow.
And Waylon Jennings' grandson, his name is Way Jennings. So that was a huge thing for me, and it was great to hear the stories that they had to tell about their grandfathers and everything.
Wow, how'd you score that gig?
You know what? It was because of a very dear friend of mine. He actually passed away last year, but that's why the Bar Novella now is called Freddy's Place. He was lining all these shows up, and he had me opening for him, and it was very cool. It was, like I said, they did a lot for my musical career, and got to meet a lot of interesting people, and they're carrying the torch on for the music from their grandfathers, and they are constantly touring all over the country and all over the world, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm sorry to hear about your friend, man. That sucks, but I'm glad you got to have that experience. For sure.
Yeah, thanks, man.
So, I know you, I don't know, but I'm guessing you play music a good bit. I was wondering if you consider music a hobby or a second job.
Well, maybe when I first started out, I considered it a hobby, but I think it's grown into definitely a second job, but it's a great job to have. But if I'm paying taxes to Uncle Sam, I count it as a second career.
That's fair. That is totally fair. All right, we're going to take a quick 30-second break here on WGLZ. We'll be right back.
This is your sign to stop flipping through the stations. Crank up the dial. You are listening to WGLZ, West Liberty's College Radio.
Hello, West Liberty. This is Matt again on WGLZ. We are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. Today, I have Aaron Margeria calling in. And we were talking about his music career. He's also a farmer, and I heard that his corn is immaculate. So I wanted to start off, Aaron, with how did you get into farming?
Well, my grandfather started our farm when he was a senior in high school. And then my father and my uncles pursued the career as well. And then I went off to college, and I attained a major my degree in horticulture and a minor in agronomy, and I decided to come back to the farm mainly because of our sweet corn business. I didn't want to see it go away. I love dealing with the public for those 50 days out of the year. I've got to meet some very interesting people, and they share great stories. It's owning a small business is one of my favorite things to do. I just love meeting people that come in and hearing their life stories and everything.
Yeah, I'm sure that's really interesting. Growing up, until I was about seven or eight, I lived on a farm. But when my grandpa passed away, we had to sell the cattle. But I know how hard it can be, and I'm glad you find some kind of, you know, motivation to get out there and keep working. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's great. I also have cattle as well, so I'm sorry to hear that. But
it's all good. It's all good.
It definitely is it's a different life, and you can attest to that.
It is. I remember, I remember just putting up new fence posts and how long it would take, and in the wintertime getting on the tractor, or watch my dad get on the tractor when it's, you know, 6 in the morning,
was,
it's 20 degrees out.
That was one of the jokes I tell is for social distancing. You just tell your neighbors you're putting in fence and you won't see them for a few days.
Isn't that the truth? Oh, I remember how hot it would get. That was awful.
Yeah.
So what's one thing you would change about being a farmer, if you could change one thing?
If I could change one thing about being a farmer, I guess more air conditioning and tractors.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you on that one. I mean, it's always hot. It's even hot when it's cold. I don't know.
Or less mud. Less mud would be a great one.
Yeah.
Especially this year.
And breakable fence. That'd be nice too. So what do you all grow on your farm?
So I have a produce business, which the main one, as you said, is sweet corn, along with green beans, hot and sweet peppers, cabbage, all your small vegetables, and then I also have a hay and straw business.
Okay.
I sell hay to a select amount of customers, and then I also have a cattle business. I have a beef herd that I manage.
Oh my Lord, that's a lot going on, and You said like earlier that your uncles were involved at one point. Are they still involved? Is it still like a family farm, or did you like take over?
Yes, in a way, yeah. My one uncle owns another farm, a few miles from us, and he has his own operation in hay and corn, as well as and another uncle is here on the farm with us, and then another uncle. I have a large family. He helps as well, and he's retired now. He had a junkyard, salvage yard.
Well, that's cool. Was that in the same area as your farm, like the same?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the same vicinity, right here in Avella, Pennsylvania.
Avella, Pennsylvania. I don't know if I've ever been to Avella. It sounds familiar. Is that how close? I don't even know what to compare it to.
If from West Liberty as the crow flies, it's probably about, I want to say, 12 to 13 miles, if I'm guessing.
Okay.
Not too far, and from the old-timers that buy sweet corn off of me, they've always told me that Avella is the center of the universe, because no matter how far you leave Avella, you always come back.
Yeah. I was telling you how much my professor enjoyed your corn. He was telling me about it, and it was like, he's like in a trance. I was like, wow, I need to come out and get some corn. I mean.
Yeah, well, I thank him for that. They that's one thing I do take pride in, is bringing a good product to people.
I'm glad to hear that, and I'm glad your product can actually affect people the way it does. I mean, you know, to someone who's not involved in the farm life, they're just like, well, it's just corn. But, like, to you, it's just like, you know, you're giving someone the chance to come back, get your corn, hear more stories, meet lifelong friends.
It's neat in that sense, because people will tell me that it's one of the main staples for their Thanksgiving dinner, or when they go on vacation to visit family, they have to take it with them. So you're right. It's like a special pastime for people in the summertime. It's like, I don't know how to explain it, but they look forward to it.
Yeah. I totally get what you're saying, for sure. And did you say that you only had cattle, or do you have other animals on your farm as well?
Right now, I just have cattle. We'll have chickens and some hogs from time to time, but right now I'm just running a cattle operation.
Okay. And are they dairy cattle, or are they beef? Or
beef. We stopped dairying in the late 90s and switched over to beef. So I run, it's like a Limousine Angus cross.
Okay. That's cool. Okay, that's what my family's farm was. We were beef cattle. Never dealt with dairy. I can't imagine waking up every morning around 5 and milking cows. Build some character right there.
Yeah, dairy life is definitely a different one. They're very hard workers. All aspects of farming is hard work, but dairy farmers, it's 24/7, that's for sure.
No doubt. So I was wondering, what issues do farmers struggle with most in today's climate?
Well, in today's climate, and every industry is dealing with the shortage of product, not being able to get product.
Yeah.
But in today's climate, maybe not a lot of people know this, but in 2012, it was the first time in human history where there's more humans living in urban areas than rural areas. So there's less people trying to feed more people on less ground. So that's definitely... from a farming standpoint, that is probably like farmers' biggest their biggest issue right now is developing technology to keep up with the demand on less ground and being able to grow stuff at a faster rate. There's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, I believe it. You mentioned the goods and stuff out, like, how difficult is it getting crops or anything like shipped out to a different place, being a farmer?
Well, it's not so much the difficulty of shipping the product. It would be more along the lines of maybe getting a certain product because of issues in the world of shipping or.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, so like, it's no new news to farmers out there if they're listening. Like the price of fertilizer has drastically went up, and other chemicals that farmers use, they've seen a spike and increase in that, and that's just due to the ongoing issues with shipping and relying on other countries to get products from. There's so many there's so many elements to it to where it becomes a problem.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a shame that, you know, I always thought the farmers were the backbone of this country, and it's a shame that when they had to struggle through that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I guess it is what it is. But
we always find a way, though. You always have to look at the upside to things. At least I try to. I always try to think of something good that comes from something bad.
That's the right way to look at it, man. So, Aaron, I really appreciate you calling in today. This was a great interview. It was nice talking to you.
I had a great time. Yeah.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later. Thanks, man.
All righty.
You have a good one. All right, I just got off the phone with Aaron Margaria. He's very, you know, very down-to-earth guy, and I appreciate him calling in. I would consider him a new friend just from that one conversation. You know, I've never met him before, but I can just tell he's a genuine guy. So you were in the studio with Matt here on WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Let's get back to music.